to listen to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, your independent free speech media source. Another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. This is a free internet radio show brought to you by the people of Hacker Voice, your free independent media source. You can copy and download this for free. It's absolutely free, no charge to you at all. Tonight's episode is going to be pretty much one voiced. It's just going to be me because there's nobody else to co-host with me available. Good old Ionix is doing something for Thanksgiving, and Planet Sims still seems to be AWOL, so it's just going to be little old Bilal for ya. Now, good news, tonight we are testing our new IRC server, so if you want to drop by, our new IRC server URL is b3l1al.homelinux.net. So point your IRC clients to that and give it a go. We're currently in the development process. We're going to give it a 2-week test run. During this time, we'll be developing new features such as host spoofing and such as general ChanServe, OpServe, NickServe services that may run on a IRC channel. Our IRC network is called HVNet, and it will host pretty much all our needs. Now, the HVNet is something that I've kind of come up with or developed through the past few months, and it's basically our own network that offers services to the Hacker Voice people. These may be such as IRC, other kind of network services, maybe war games, maybe VPN services. So if you check out the forums, you will notice that there is a new forum called HVNet. Under there, you will see the old forum that was the Hacker Voice VPN, which is now in a sub-forum to that. Everything you need to know is in there, and anyone that has any contributions or ideas, you're free to post in there. Now, I don't know how long I can stay here and talk to you for by myself, because I'll probably be going, yes, so what do we have now? But never mind, I'll get through it somehow by myself. So, what do we have in store for you? Straight into the news. Sony BMG Music controversial copy protection scheme can be defended with a small piece of tape, a research firm said Monday in a demonstration of the full futility of digital rights management. According to Gratner, analysts Martin Reynolds and Mike Gurin, Sony XCP technology is pretty much owned by sticking a fingernail-sized piece of opaque tape on the outer edge of the CD. That, the pair said in brief, posted online. The Season 2... Don't know what the... Oh, cool. I've just got ops on my own server. Right. What are we doing? I've just got distracted there by a second. See, it only takes a fraction of a second for me to get distracted. Actually, let me find something better for me to play in the background, because we're slowly moving into weird kind of R&B feel, which isn't really what I want to do. Right. Self-loading. Basically, what it happens is sticking this fingernail-sized piece of opaque tape over the outer edge of the CD makes the self-loading DRM software unreadable. The PC then treats the CD as an original single-session single-session music CD, and commonly used CD ripping programs continue to work as usual. Such simple workarounds, say Reynolds and McGuire, make Sony's decision to copy protect against its music CDs an even bigger mistake. Sony BMG DRM technology will prevent neither informed casual copiers nor high-volume pirates from doing what they are likely to do with the content. The analysts conclude it does, however, load stealth software that has been demonstrated to have suspected effects on uninformed user machines. The bottom line is Sony BMG has created serious public relations and legal issues for itself for no good reason. Now, I have to agree with them there. Basically, you know, if they're going to copy this shit anyway, they're going to be, you know, doing something about the DRM. They're going to know that there's some DRM in there, and they're going to do something about that. The effects are catastrophic for Sony. The effects are pretty bad for the end user. After only 10 days of mounting criticism about the suspicious installation of the hacker-style rootkit to user PCs, did Sony announce that it would end the copy protection a week later. It said it would recall all unused CDs in an exchange for those already in customers' hands with unprotected discs. Sony's exchange program would also give buyers of 52 in question CDs the option to receive unprotected MP3 files of the album's tracks, in large part because the disc exchange process takes 3 to 6 weeks. Those users will receive an email directing them to the site where they can download the MP3 files, Sony said in its exchange program web page. This isn't the first time that simple methods have defeated the Sony Protection Program plan, an earliest technology Sony used to be circumvented by tracks by a black marker to draw a line near the edge of the CD. So basically, the easy way to get rid of this software is to basically kill off that portion of the CD by sticking something over it, making the CD in fact be treated as a ordinary single session music CD, which means that you can then go ahead and rip the DVDs, the music off it. After more than 5 years of trying, the recording industry has not yet demonstrated a workable DRM scheme for music CDs. Concluding the gather analysis, it will never achieve the goal as long as CDs must be playable by standalone CD players. This is very true, because under the CD-ROM standard, it must be playable by every single standalone CD. So in theory, you must be able to take that CD format and play it on any standalone CD, which is the legal requirement if you're going to sell a CD under the CD-ROM label standard, which is basically what big old Sony wasn't doing. Now, you've got to remember that Sony is a Japanese company, and they're going to be doing this kind of shit, you know, stealthily. They're going to try and take as much money as they can. They don't give a fuck about their end user. They've got to answer to their own shareholders, so obviously they must have, you know, said, you know, well, we're going to create this thing. It's going to be pretty good. It's going to, you know, make a lot of money. It'll open up some other things as well. It's pretty evil. They're bastards, I have to say. Now, in other news, something that we shouldn't have really been expecting is that the Xbox 360, now the Xbox 360 went on sale, I think, I'm sure it was yesterday. If today's date is the 23rd of November 2005, I don't know if I mentioned that at the beginning of the show, I'm not too sure. But the Xbox 360, made by Microsoft, went on sale yesterday, and today has been noted to be very unstable. It appears that there have been several postings over at Xbox Scene, which it can be found at www.xbox-scene.com, complaining of crashing Xboxes on new games, with default settings on single player, crashes on Xbox Live and on startup have been reported too. Project Gotham Racing 3 crashes before finishing the first lap. So, what's happening here is, from what I conclude, from the crashes, the Xbox 360 hasn't actually been developed properly to withhold or withstand the amount of heat it's going to get from just standard use. So the Xbox overheats, the RAM chips overheat on the graphics card, and spew out RAM code all over the screen, makes the system unstable for a few seconds, and then crashes the system completely, because obviously, you know, you have enormous input output errors, all this kind of stuff gets fucked and you pretty much lose your system. People have reported several different kind of crashes. Some people have reported just code being spat out, unbootable Xboxes, crashing while playing the game, and you know, it's a real big embarrassment for people. I think Microsoft should really have sorted this shit out way before. I don't see how this could be at all acceptable. Furthermore, they must have done real-world testing with kind of beta developers and stuff like that, and noticed that for some reason this thing wasn't working. You know, this thing was overheating, it was spewing out code, it was spewing out characters all over the screen. What you gotta do is think about how many people are gonna buy this thing on the release day. How many people have pre-ordered this thing? Now, for all the people that actually purchased the Xbox on the day, they must be waiting for plus 20 hours, you know, at that fucking store, waiting for the store to open so that they could get their hands on a new Xbox. They're excited. They can't wait to boot this thing up. They head home. You know, they rip the thing open, put the thing there, plug all the cables in, plug the controller in. You know, you're sitting there for about a few minutes reading through the manual, stick the game in, and power the thing up. You're playing, and it makes a lovely noise when it boots up. You know, nice little flash screen. You're away, and then the thing crashes. Only 15-20 minutes into your gameplay. So you think, okay, alright, fine. Maybe it's just crashed. New system. So you restart it. Does the same thing over and over again. So you're like, what the fuck's going on? You go on the internet, you check anything, and you figure out that what you've bought is critically unstable. They have, in fact, built a system that does not work. I mean, come on, tell me, does this thing work? Nope. What else doesn't actually work? How about most of all of Microsoft's products? Yes, maybe, just maybe you might be right there. Indeed. I'm not surprised, very saddened by this fact, very glad that I cancelled my pre-order, very, very glad I cancelled it. if I ever intend to purchase this thing, it will definitely be quite a few years after this thing has gone through production use and all that kind of stuff. Now, you tell me what people will be buying. I mean, this is like a horrible, horrible kind of embarrassment for Microsoft. It's just, it's weird to say that because most of everything else is an embarrassment to Microsoft. You know, I feel sorry for the people that bought it because they were expecting a very cool system, and indeed, it is a very, very cool system. You know, it's amazing how, you know, what they're trying to do with this thing. It's amazing what they're planning to do. Now, the fucking console doesn't even, it crashes on the fucking Microsoft logo. I mean, how embarrassing can a system get if that happens? I would advise everyone not to buy the Xbox. Please, don't buy it. Why? It doesn't work. It doesn't work? Well, it's Microsoft. Oh. Oh, okay. How about the PS3? Now, that's the system I want to see. Hopefully, it won't have as many problems as this Xbox 360. Maybe they're going to release some sort of patch. I don't think it's actually a patch problem. I think it's going to be a hardware fault. Definitely from the looks of what's happening, it's a hardware fault. Everything else is pointing to that, to an overheat of the graphics card. So, what else do we have in store for you? Sorry, I'm just talking to TC, trying to get the bastard on the radio show. It's pretty hard doing a show by yourself. Okay, we're going to be joined by TC very soon. Now, there's been a breakthrough in quantum mechanic measurement. Physics Web is reporting that two teams of physicists have developed a new method for measuring the state of quantum bits. This is very exciting for us. Why? Because quantum computers equals major fun. Okay? End of story. No more needs to be said. Actually, I'll go on with the story because it's fucking exciting. Quantum computer without... Actually, what it does is they've developed a new method for measuring the state of quantum bits in a quantum computer without disturbing the state. From the article, in the future, the Jefferson capacitance could be used to operate in large-scale quantum computers, says this really brainy scientist. The Jefferson what the fuck, man? These are some weird things. Jefferson and Jefferson capitator is altogether will be used to allow to build new types of quantum band engineering electronic devices such as low noise parametric amplifiers. Wow. You know, I mean, this is cool. You know, if we could get the little old quantum computer in our home, it's just going to be crazy, man. This is exactly what we need in the home, is a quantum computer. You know? Something we've been waiting for a long time. I mean, the way I've always seen things happening is, there's going to be a slowdown in PC. I mean, the way it really goes is it goes from server, desktop, and then, you know, like mobile, laptop, phone. So what we're seeing is a slowdown in server stuff. Okay, I can vouch for the amazing stuff that AMD is doing right now, but things are tending to slow down a bit. What you'll definitely see is a speed up in the client side things, the desktop side of things, you know, with some amazing processor speeds. Whereas before, you know, back in the day of 800 megahertz and stuff like that, it was amazing to have a server for about 1.2, 1.5 megahertz. Obviously, they're completely different. They're completely different bowls of soup. But you're talking about some amazing advances in technology. Hello, TC.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, man.
Cool. I need somebody with me here, man, because it's pretty difficult doing it by yourself.
Yeah, I expect so. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been going on about stuff for about the last 20 minutes, and I hope I haven't been boring people.
But, yeah. I'm sure not.
Yeah. So, how are things with you?
Not too bad. I'm just still recovering after last Friday with the nice little freezing, freaking session.
Yeah, that session. It was very fun. If you go on the Hacker Boys forums and go into the galleries, you'll see a few pictures of the night. It was horribly cold. It was just
ice.
It was really cold. It wasn't like, oh yeah, let's go doing a bit of urban exploration and like let's do some crazy stuff with like boxes and stuff. Yeah, how about I return back to my warm, comfy bed and sleep. But,
yeah.
But due to the fact that I had quite a lot to drink, the whole kind of logic side to my brain turned off for the half hour, however long we were there for. And it was great fun, you know, I have to say. There were some successful things in that night. Most definitely.
Like enjoying yourself in a public urinal.
Yes. You know, I thought, well, I'm gonna have to get my money's worth out of that thing. So I thought, I'm gonna hack this thing, see what it does with the number twos. See how it handles my payload. And, it didn't actually do a good job there. As you can see from that picture, I was straining. the fun thing about that night is that we found a very open BT payphone. It's probably the most open BT payphone we actually ever saw. What I mean by that is that you were able to do some pretty cool stuff with it. You were able to call back into the payphone, which is usually by general blocked off on BT payphone. You were also able to do the 1707 test, which is used by engineers and stuff like that, and is also the ANAC. Which was also available, which is weird because they're all blocked off by default on all BT payphones. The only way I've seen them working is on the Smart Z ones provided by the Cocot New World. So yeah, it was good.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I did have a fun journey on the train.
Yeah.
Sitting next to a guy complaining about Burger King. Now, I'm sitting there reading my new copy of 2600, and this guy is sitting there moaning about the content of the sugar in his drink.
Right.
I'm sitting there thinking, how pathetic are people getting nowadays? It is so bad.
How about if you don't like it, throw it away. Don't drink it. Don't drink the fucking drink. Throw
exactly.
The drink away. Why? Why in God's name? What the hell did you expect from buying a fast food drink? First of all, it's not going to have a lot of drink in there. It's going to have a lot of ice and water, okay? You know? It's like, well, how about you just get yourself a nice cup of shut the fuck up?
Indeed. I do love that picture.
Yeah. You managed to jump on today on the IRC server that we are developing.
I did indeed.
Yeah.
I did have a little bit of trouble connecting the first time though.
Yeah.
It doesn't accept any names with underscores in, I realised.
Oh, right. Okay. That's
interesting. So you need to watch out with that. I had it kept coming up with couldn't look up your host name and then it wouldn't let me connect. But now it's still coming up with couldn't look up your host name, but now it lets me connect, which is rather odd.
Weird. That's interesting. That's something I'm going to have to look at. I mean, what's happening is the past few days we've started the kind of development process of our private IRC server that's hosted in my house right next to me right here. I'm touching it right now. Oh, it feels so good. So we managed to get it in a stable state. The server is 100% stable. The thing what we're doing now is over the next 2 days, it's going to be in a beta state development stage where we're going to be adding new features onto it, such as services like ChanServe, NickServe, OpServe, OperateServe, and stuff like that. Also, spoofing is currently active on the server, but only to a select script that we've written. I'm going to have to rewrite that so that now everyone has a spoofed host, so that when you log in, it doesn't say your IP address, it says at hackervoice.co.uk or whatever, you know?
Brilliant.
So if somebody was to jump on there and a script kiddie or something like that and was like, oh dude, I'm going to hacksaw you, what would they see? Nothing. It would be like FBI.gov or something stupid like that. And not only does it look cool, it still protects your privacy, which is what we're all about, you know?
That's what you want.
Exactly. You want to protect your privacy by default. So that's our aim of things, you know? Also, having your own IRC server means that it's yours. It means that the log files can be dealt with whatever.
Makes you feel like God.
Exactly. Well, not really. I mean, yes, but... it also enables the people to feel a bit safer on that server because they know that, you know, it's...
They know you quite personally.
Yeah, exactly.
They know the owner, as it were.
Precisely. Did you receive everything that Planet sent you?
Which things am I looking... Oh, well, in the post.
Yeah.
I did indeed, which I am bloody grateful for. Nice, the wonderful DVD here.
Yeah.
Good old Hacker Voice Radio. And I think the case is fantastic.
It is indeed.
The design for the case is unbelievable. Congrats to was it Planet Lab designed that? Yes.
No, it was Ionix.
Was it? Oh, it was Ionix.
Yeah, Ionix designed the case, and Planet redesigned it to fit onto the slim casing of the DVDs.
Well, congrats to you guys. You've done a marvelous job. Seriously.
Yeah. I'm very proud of it.
I've already been listening my way through it and enjoying some of the episodes that I haven't heard in a long time. I tell you, I haven't listened to it for a while.
There were some good old classics, weren't there?
Oh yes. Well, a particular favourite I remember was one of the episodes. Was it 21 or 27? I remember the one where we all had our nice little own song we started making up with our guitar.
That was good.
Good fun.
But Season 2 is drawing close. We're more than halfway through Season 2 right now. So Season 2 is going to be exciting. You know, we really want to get that stuff on DVD and get that out. Did you receive the case badges from Planet?
I did. I've got one of mine on the laptop and the other is actually on my PC.
Okay. How many did you get?
I got two.
Ah, damn. I thought he sent more. Because I'm waiting to pick one up from him. I don't know if he's going to send some to me. But Planet is currently AFK. Yesterday he sent me an email saying that he went pheasant shooting. So, so I guess he's still...
being a posh bastard.
Yeah, fucked out his head.
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Looking at the Scobie's new, was it RU Soft?
That's right.
do like the pun there.
Oh man, I can't stop cracking up every time he said something like why would you? I know why he called it RU Soft. But I'm thinking like, RU Soft? No, I'm hard.
But I mean, it's looking quite good. I'm quite excited to see how they go with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Good luck to them on that, definitely. And well, it's everything's moving forward. We've had some amazing guests on this show. I mean, within the first two seasons, we had some people that I've been quite envious of myself.
Yeah, we've had some fantastic hosts, fantastic guests. It's been a really good season. Things are moving in positive directions. You know, we're growing as a community, which is just amazing.
Oh, definitely.
You know, we're developing all over globally. We've currently, in the past 3 months, had about 10,000 unique hits to the website. We've distributed over 36 gigs in the past 3 months worth of data from the website, which looks like people have downloaded the entire season over and over again. You know, soon we'll have our own PBX, which means that we can step away from the usual way we're recording this through, you know, Skype and Google Talk and all that kind of stuff, and go directly into a PBX format where people can just dial one number, they'll get a whole load of menus, you know, they'll be able to leave a message.
That will be good.
And all that kind of stuff. It's going to be cool.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah,
it's all going ahead. Everything's going forward. It's just great.
Yeah, I mean, also I've actually announced that a few episodes ago is that I have set up a Warsaw server for us, for all your FPS heads out there who like to play a bit of FPS. If you're not currently, if you don't know what Warsaw is, go Google it. It's a free FPS game. It works on the Quake 3 engine, and it's just amazing because it's not like your average FPS game. It uses kind of matrixy, cartoonish type graphics, very smooth graphics. It's not a standard one kind of three kind of, I don't know, axis game. It uses kind of jumps. You can literally do tricks and stuff in the air to jump over barriers, you know, stuff like that. So I've been playing around with that the past few days. The only problem is that it's very bandwidth dependent if I'm going to run a server. So if I'm running the server, I'm going to be running it during the day and nothing else will work, sort of thing. But we'll see how that goes. You know, I'm planning to upgrade my my broadband package and everything like that, because I've come to a point in life where 8 megabytes is not enough for a man, and I'm needing something speedier.
Well, that's good on you, man. I mean, I'm just still coping with 2 megabytes at the moment, but I want to go further.
Yeah.
I mean, well, to say the least, I'm moving out with my friend by the end of this week. Right. It's all going ahead. It's all going to plan. Yeah. And I'm going to be hosting a server. I'm going to have a nice few, you know, servers in there.
Yeah.
We're talking about plans of having a 24 meg connection. Yeah, nice. The new Bulldog coming out.
Yeah,
we want to get that in. And we're just sitting there thinking, you know, we want to go big.
Mm.
And we are going to have people over. I mean, I'm talking HackerWorse.
Yeah.
You know, you members are invited out to our place, you know.
Cool.
To come and join us. Enjoy yourselves, really.
Definitely. Well,
a little bit. I mean, just kind of to share yourselves, share your information.
Definitely. I mean, if you're planning to do something like that, then why not expand the HVNet to you, so that if you're willing to set up an IRC server at your end, and then we can basically link them together, so that we have, you know, a 2-node IRC network. Like, let's say, you know, Dalnet,
EFNet,
or something like that. So that, you know, we've got another link to the network. And then, basically, if we have this thing going, we just add another one in the US, maybe, and somewhere else. And, you know, this thing will just eventually grow larger, so that we're not dependent on just my connection to host the, you know, the IRC. If I go down, then we can bump people over to another node and stuff like that. So that, you know, we have different connections around the world.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
So, what's been going on with you then?
Well...
Have you had anything exciting, any news?
As far as... What do you mean?
What have you been doing with yourself for
last? Well, I'm going to be going off to the US to see Ionix. In January, which is one of the most exciting things in my calendar so far. Apart from that, nothing much. You know, I've just been keeping pretty low, waiting for my money to pile up and stuff like that, which is quite hard. obviously, working on different projects like the IRC stuff and stuff like that, thinking about ideas and all that kind of stuff. So nothing new. as far as those things kind of go. I'm looking forward to the next Hacker Voice meeting or / 2600 meeting, which is coming up soon, I think, in the next week, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be definitely there.
Yeah.
And I want to see more people this time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, last time it was just a mid-month, you know. I don't expect a huge amount of turnout. But I probably will be reserving that back part again for this next month. So it'll be good if we could get a decent amount of turnout so that people can take advantage of that. And I'll probably be saying, like, don't go to the standard meeting place, because people just stay there for like 7 o'clock and then like walk off, and the place is packed after that time, if you see what I mean. So if we can get as many people at the pub to reserve all the seats and to make sure that, you know, nobody fucking goes, sits there who isn't meant to be sitting there, and then we kind of basically have that bit to ourselves. Not like last time where it was like, we've got the whole bit and we were waiting, there was like two people there for like 2 hours, and people just started, you know, thinking, oh, they're taking the piss, so they sat in our seats. So
I want to kind of get it on time.
Yeah, definitely want to do it better next time.
Well, I mean, are we thinking about doing any more big meetings, big shows, big, I don't know, something big again?
Yeah, definitely. It's not a case of, you know, when or whatever. We could. I mean, if everything goes right, we can do it for the next one, for the next 2600 meeting sort of thing. Have another Hacker Voice meeting. But the way we thought about doing it is having it every end of season, if you see what I mean. Which is what we thought of doing, a big one, so that at least it means something, if you see what I mean. It's close of season, close of play, you know, let's go and enjoy ourselves, let's have a big kind of conference sort of thing. So
yeah, definitely big hoo-ha.
Exactly. So yeah,
I think that shall be pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. And
look forward to it.
Yeah, I hope everybody kind of at least liked the hotel that we stayed in. I tried to get the cheapest price for you guys, because everything else was slightly ridiculous, man.
It was good fun. I wish there were more people there.
Yeah. So yeah, next time, guys.
Definitely enjoyed that.
Yeah, next time we'll probably look for something as like cheap like that. You know, book a few more rooms and get some people to stay the entire weekend, sort of thing. And I'll probably like be planning more about what we're doing, sort of thing, after, because before it was like, well, let's just go and do some stuff, if you see what I mean. You know, it wasn't like, well, let's go this. I know somewhere interesting to where to go. It was like, well, fuck it, we'll just go Canary Wharf and see what the fuck happens, sort of thing. But that was the first one ever, so, you know, it was bound to have some problems.
We'll just get it more organized, and we'll do a whole lot more.
Exactly.
I mean, do we know if this, what is it, Hackfest or whatever they were saying about next June, is it? June, July?
Yeah, this is going to be big. This is going to be huge. It's called Open Hacker. I'm pretty sure it's called Open Hacker. Go and check it out, because it sounds amazing. I'm going to be definitely there. Ionix is actually going to be getting to the UK to be at that event. The thing is, maybe I have a feeling it was announced too early, but then again, it doesn't really matter. Hopefully there's going to be a huge turnout. I'd love to see people all over the place like that haven't even heard of us, we haven't heard of them. Maybe there is another Hacker Voice somewhere in the UK that we have absolutely no idea about, you know. I'm sure that there's other kind of hacking groups in the UK that maybe haven't heard about us and haven't heard about this. So that's one of the reasons why I set up frapper.com. We set up our little thing so that people can kind of, well, there's like three other hackers in my city. I have absolutely no idea who they are. you know, let's communicate, sort of thing. Let's find these people out. Let's you know, go out and talk to each other. That's what it's all about, you know, when you're building a scene, is you're building a community, basically.
Definitely. I mean, there's a guy down my road. Definitely a hacker down there. I mean, I know this for a fact because the wireless network, I'm definitely not the only person on there.
Yeah.
When you've got someone there, ghost spelled in lead speak, there's got to be someone else there.
Definitely.
I mean, I just want to say, hey, I want to come down and say, hey, who are you? But I don't know where he is. I mean, if he's actually, you know, if he knows who we are, then hey, you know, ring me up. I want to know who you are.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe somebody just changed his SSID, but I doubt it. Was it an open network?
Oh yeah, no. What it was? It was my next door neighbor's wireless network. Basically, had gone on there, and on the old DHCP table is this is one of the names of his SSID was Ghost.
Of his machine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah, definitely. You should have sent him a net send. Check out what he's
running. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, he wasn't on at the time.
Yeah, right. You want to check out what he's running, you know, if it's Linux or if it's Windows.
Yeah, so keep away from the Windows people.
Yeah. Well, not as much keep away from them.
It can be used.
Yeah, I mean, hell, I don't care about that whole kind of OS war. I'll fucking use what I need to use, because, after all, an operating system is a tool, okay? All it's designed for is making full use of the hardware. That's pretty much it, you know? You need to copy a CD-ROM, what are you going to use? You're not going to use fucking MS-DOS. You're just going to drag and drop. So, if something runs better, easier, faster on Windows, which is true for some applications, then use Windows. If you're going to try and do something properly, then you're going to be using Linux, if you see what I mean. So different things different things. You know, it's like, what does it do? How well does it do it? And that's pretty much it.
Well, it's like when you have the people that turn around and they say, oh no, you can only use Linux for this. Only good people use Linux. But then again, I think a decent hacker can use both operating systems.
I mean,
as good as each other.
It's not even both. It's like every single operating system. It's like, you know, that pure owners thing, you know, to own, you've got to own all games. And it's the same thing. To be a hacker, you've got to, you know, hack with all operating systems. You at least make an effort to
go with OS, Windows,
everything, you know, Windows, fucking Solaris, everything. Go out there, try. There's so many operating systems out there that work on Unix, BSD. You know, there's standard Linux, there's so many distributions of Linux, there's so many different kind of stuff that people might not even heard about. There's
all used for different
exactly
things.
Purposes, yeah, precisely. So there's quite a lot of bespoke stuff as well. You know, stuff that people have actually made themselves, they made their own operating system. So yeah, definitely do check that stuff out. So don't restrict yourself to one thing, and keep away from those Linux, Windows, you know, wars, because they just make you look like an idiot, you know? Seriously. I don't care how good you are at Linux.
Indeed.
I don't give a shit about how good you are at Windows. If you're going to be fighting about this thing, then, you know, you might as well not, you know, not be worthy of a computer.
Yeah, it's exploration. That's what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, well, why do you think we rip apart the electrical thing? Things. You want to see how it works, what it does, what it's capable of doing.
Exactly. I mean, I can definitely.
You can't just limit it to what it can do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why people run Windows servers. That's one thing that I don't understand, is why run a server that's running Windows. The first mistake Windows ever made when they built the server. NT operating system was they put a GUI on it. They put a fucking GUI on it. Now, the way I see things is a server is meant to be a very high performance machine. That's, you know, from base, from the chips to the operating system, your goal is the most performance, the most the most processes per clock cycle. So why the hell would you put a fucking why'd you put an operating system with a GUI, a heavy GUI, might I add? What's the point?
Oh god, yeah.
You know, what's the point? If you need a GUI, run a server, which is pretty much what we're doing now with this server, is it runs GNOME, but what it does is it spits the X11 into a VNC screen that's basically not binded to anything. So you can't actually log into the server, but it spits the X11 through a VNC screen, which makes the performance unimaginable. It's just so smooth. So I and Ionix can be on the server at the same time, in real time, monitoring it, you know, doing stuff to it, like, I don't know, like fucking browsing the internet, if you will, in real time, at the same time, with absolutely no lag. It's just amazing. And this is just a 2.5 512 RAM compact server. And that's what I'm saying, you know. Try and do that.
Keep going,
exactly. Try and do that with Windows. No, it's not going to work. VNC, fuck that, man. It's going to lag like a bitch, you know.
Yeah. I think I'm talking about lagging. I think I'm lagging with like a bitch at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, you're looking pretty poor on the bars there, man. I don't know why. I guess there's something up with my connection. I wouldn't be too surprised.
Well, it could be ours again. We've just gone through an update on our ISP.
Yeah.
So it could just be ours trying to wake up.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Right, I think we're about time to close off the show.
Okay.
Unless you have anything more to add.
No.
Cool.
Okay. I thought I did, but run out of ideas.
Things to say. Cool. Well, it's been a good little episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope people will stick around to test the IRC server out. I want to push it through its limits, you know, try and find the weak points. I think we've already found one major one, which is my connection. but apart from that, you know, it's looking pretty solid. So I hope we'll catch you again tomorrow for another episode of Hacker Voice Radio.
Indeed.
Excellent. So it's good night from me.
And good night from me.
Good night.